Radio News Team. Informative, local, and dependable talk with Andrew McKay, Jenna Barr, and Bobby Rossi. Informative, local, and dependable traffic with Traffic on the Fives during your morning and afternoon drive. Informative, local, and dependable weather. Informative, local, and dependable coverage of breaking news and when disasters strike. That's what News Radio 92.3 is. Informative, local, dependable.
It's Pensacola right now on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Share your thoughts by texting or calling 437-1620.
And now, here's your host, Bobby Rossi.
Pensacola right now with Bobby Rossi. Supreme Court is hearing cases that could completely change the internet, at least the way the internet's being governed and the way a lot of information will be distributed, as well as who could be liable for distribution of content and things like that. 145,000 cans of Enfamil Prosobi, the infant formula, has been recalled due to a bacteria risk. So if you have that. And then President Trump says that everyone running for president should have mental competency tests. This is in response to Nikki Haley, who says that everybody over the age of 75 who's running for a federal office should have to have mental competency tests. Speaking of Nikki Haley, and she's been attacked recently from President Biden, from President Trump. She's been attacked by others who, Ann Coulter and things like that. Well, now, and of course, Don Lemon attacked her age. You end up getting Whoopi Goldberg, who also attacked her age. And now you got an MSNBC host who was a guest, Mehdi Hasan, who on MSNBC said that Nikki Haley is the Alpha Karen with brown skin. Whoa. What? She's an alpha Karen with brown skin? And he goes and says, and for white supremacists and racists, she is a perfect Manchurian candidate. Oh, golly. And then he goes on further. He says, I'm just disgusted by people like Nikki Haley who should know better. What? I just don't get it. But then I started thinking about it. I was like, okay, why these attacks on Nikki Haley so much? Why are they going after Nikki Haley so much? Because she's actually been a fairly – she is pretty conservative, but she's more of a – she leans more moderate conservative. Like, compared to Senator Tim Scott, who's thinking about running, I would say he's more conservative than she is even. Why the pushback so quickly against her? If anything, you would think that these identity politics type individuals like Whoopi Goldberg and like MSNBC would be celebrating a woman of color running for president. Instead, just attacks on her color, attacks on her age, attacks on her being a woman, calling her a Karen. It's like, are you kidding me with this? Why? And then I realized, you know what? It has nothing to do with her policies. It has nothing to do with what she's done. It has nothing to do with what she's even said. It has everything to do with the fact that she has an R behind her name. And they automatically will just assume things about her because they already have in their mindset the way Republicans think. Now, don't get me wrong. I know a lot of Republicans who think the same thing about Democrats. They're like, it doesn't matter what they do or say or what they've done. They got the D behind their name. I automatically think that they're, you know, a socialist trying to take away all of our freedoms. And so I understand it goes both ways. I'm just pointing out that since this is what's in the news right now, this is why people are – that's why they're just jumping on this so much. They just don't trust her no matter what. It's Pensacola right now. Bobby Ross, let's get Traffic on the Fives.
I-10 and I-110 showing no delays throughout our area as well as Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach. Taking a look at 98 throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre, we are looking good. If you do see something else on the road slowing you down, just give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah. So that's Nikki Haley. Now let's move over to Donald Trump, who's also running for office. He says that Florida was doing just fine before Governor DeSantis got there. Now, he wasn't necessarily saying that Governor DeSantis ruined it. He was saying it was doing fine before him. He can't take credit for what Florida's done. Well, yes, Florida has been doing well. And he brought up people were moving here to Florida from New York and other high tax places already, and because of high crime and high taxes, because they were trying to get out of those places and come to a safe place that's safer and has lower taxes. Yes, that's true. But you know what? During DeSantis, it really ramped up. And a big reason for it was because of his leadership. A big reason why people are flocking to this state right now is because of his leadership, particularly during COVID. We got a text earlier from somebody saying that they're in construction, and a lot of the houses that they have done, that they have they build and that they sell, 50 to 75% of them are saying that they moved here because Governor DeSantis, because their governors, where they moved from, was so restrictive, they had to get out. They had to get out of the state. So they did. And now they're, that's why they're coming here. And that's because of DeSantis' leadership. So, yes, the state was doing fine before, but I'd say two things. One is he stepped it up and showing leadership to a point where a lot of people said, hey, I want to go there, But then two is he's done a really good job in other ways with increasing pay for teachers, increasing pay for law enforcement, with protecting waterways and adding more environmental projects, and going against the invasive species of the pythons down in the Everglades. There's been a variety of things that he's done as leadership, pushing for smokable marijuana. That was one of the first things he did when he got in office, is have a special session. First thing he did, have a special session to pass smokable marijuana. He says when the citizens voted for it on the to change the Constitution, they assumed it was going to be smokable versions, not edibles only and pills and things like that. He said, we need to get it done. He did. So there's a variety of things that he's done that was beyond Rick Scott and beyond Charlie Crist. Spence Cole right now, Bobby Rossi, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Coming next, top trending news with Joe Ford in the newsroom. Local, dependable. You can share your thoughts or opinions by texting 850-437-1620.
Now it's time for your top trending news.
Top trending news, I'm Joe Ford. The EPA is ordering Norfolk Southern to pay for all the cleanup associated with the toxic train derailment earlier this month in East Palestine, Ohio. Administrator Michael Regan promised to hold the rail company accountable for the cleanup of all contamination. A $100 million wrongful death lawsuit being filed some 58 years after the assassination of Malcolm X. Attorney Ben Crump said the civil rights leader's family is suing the city of New York, the state, the FBI, and CIA. Families accusing the city, state, and government agencies of concealing evidence. Ukrainian President Zelensky thanking the U.S. today for rallying international support for his country in the fight against Russia. In a tweet following President Biden's speech from Poland, Zelensky repeated his remarks that the capital city of Kyiv stands strong and free. nearly a year into the invasion. And Brittany Griner making her return to the WNBA. The Phoenix Mercury announced that she has re-signed with the team for a one-year deal. This comes after she was detained on drug charges in Russia last year and sentenced to 9 years in prison before the prisoner exchange.
All right. Yeah, and we were talking about this earlier. I just want to reiterate again here. She was supposed to be going through – I'm not saying she didn't. I'm just saying, you know, this was her process getting back. She was supposed to be getting having therapy, having mental health counselors to help her process what happened and help her transition from basically being a foreign detainee to regular life. You know, and they even said at the time that for some people this take years. This is a years long process, and maybe she still will go through it as she's playing basketball.
Yeah.
But the fact that she signed the deal is like that seems pretty confident. Like it seems pretty like she's doing okay. You know.
Yeah. No, I agree. And you know, like you said, I mean, I think it's and you know, neither one of us have a clue of what. You know, she dealt with or continues to deal with. But, you know, it has been, I mean, good just for her as a person, you know, to be seen out. You know, she was at the Super Bowl, seemed to be enjoying that. And so, you know, I think it's just an ongoing, continual process that, you know, certainly nobody's going to stand in her way of, you know, making a living however she chooses to. And, you know, obviously she's still got the talent to play the WNBA, but yeah, you know, so it, I mean, it's definitely a positive for her, and you know, regardless of what side of the issue you fall on with the prisoner exchange, I mean, you know, she was a prisoner, she was according to the U.S. wrongfully detained. They were able to get her back and you know, free to live her life however she pleases. So yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing thing, and I hope that she's getting the best care. And I hope she is able to recover really quickly from whatever trauma she went through.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Same here. I agree. All right, it's Pensacola right now, Bobby Ross. Let's get traffic on the fives.
This traffic update brought to you by ECUA. Our roads are looking good with I-10 and I-110 not showing any delays. 29 and 90 also looking good. Davis Highway, as well as East Olive Road, Creighton and Langley, in Pine Forest, Blue Angel, and Gulf Beach, also looking good. If you do see something on the road, just give me a call at 850-2626-111. That's a traffic line number. And this traffic report brought to you by ECUA. Help ECUA ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Coming up here next, I want to hit on the Supreme Court reviewing a couple of cases that will affect the internet. And so I want to talk about that coming up next right here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So the Supreme Court is hearing two cases this week that they're saying it could change the internet. Well, how? Well, they're saying it could reshape online speech and particularly content moderation. So they're hearing these oral arguments today and tomorrow, and it could determine whether tech platforms like Google and Microsoft, as well as social media companies, whether they could be sued for recommending content to their users or for supporting acts of international terrorism by hosting terrorist content. In other words, if somebody shares some article or some other kind of a thing, maybe for that is a terrorist-related propaganda or something like this. And even if you're just going, can you believe they're sharing this craziness? You know, even if you share it like that, well, could you, they be held for supporting acts of terrorism? Right now, there's federal law that pretty much protects websites from lawsuits over user-generated content. Depending on what the Supreme Court does right here, it could change that. That's why they're saying this is so huge. It's Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 923. Informative, local, dependable. You can share your thoughts or opinions by texting 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. So, let's see here. What else we got? Oh, yeah. So, coming up on Friday, we've got the Friday at 7:30. Pensacola Symphony Orchestra presents Verdi Requiem. With soaring moments of joy and dramatic fanfare, Verdi's Requiem is one of the most treasured choral works of all time. And so in this special artistic collaboration, the orchestra conducted by Peter Rubart will join forces with four celebrated soloists and more than 120 voices in the Hattiesburg Choral Union. And this is a monumental masterpiece of joy, hope, and passion. You can get tickets today at the Singer Theater. And also, we will be giving away another pair of tickets for it tomorrow. So be sure to stick around for that one or listen for a chance to win that. Free tax assistance is going on right now from the United Way of West Florida. If you make $60,000 or less as a family or an individual, then VITA is for you. They're booking appointments now at 211. Just dial 211 and you can schedule your appointment. They're going to be operating from four different locations. Pensacola State College's main campus, Pensacola State College's Milton campus, and their Warrington campus, as well as Goodwill over on Olive Road. So there you go. That is the United Way West Florida's Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. It's Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. So there's where to go? Oh, top three stories here, and then we'll get into your sports hit. So the Supreme Court is hearing cases that could change the internet. We were just talking about that. Essentially, it's saying that platforms and social media companies are not liable. Right now, there's a law that says they're not liable for user-generated content, and that's being challenged. So we'll have to see what happens with that. 145,000 cans of Enfamil Prosobi infant formula have been recalled over a bacterial risk, and President Trump says that everyone running for president should have a mental competency test, not just those over the age of 75, like Nikki Haley suggested the other day. I agree. Yeah, why not? It's not going to hurt anything. There is where to go here. So those are your top three stories. Let's get into sports now.
Here's your sports hit.
NCAA men's basketball, number 16 Xavier is beating Villanova right now by 10 points on FS1. The second half just started. ESPN has number 11 Tennessee playing number 25 Texas A&M. Tennessee leads by 4 points right now. That's on ESPN. Number 13 Miami has a 5-point lead over Virginia Tech. ESPN2 has a 2-point lead of number 9 Baylor beating number 14 Kansas State. And then coming up later tonight, you got number 10 Marquette against number 19 Creighton on TV. Also on ESPN is number 17 Indiana University playing Michigan State and Texas Tech playing Oklahoma. Then NCAA women's basketball, St. John's is beating, where'd it go? No. St. John's is beating number 4 UConn by 3 points with a minute and a half left. Not even a minute and a half left in the game. Second quarter, halftime. Number 15, Villanova, is getting beat by one. No, they're leading DePaul by 9 points at halftime. And coming up on Big Ten Network at 7 o'clock, number 6, Iowa women play number 7, Maryland women. NHL hockey is underway right now. Carolina Hurricanes are beating the St. Louis Blues 2-0. Tie game between Montreal and New Jersey Red Devils at 1 apiece. scoreless game between the Tampa Bay between Tampa Bay and Anaheim. Still 4 minutes left in the first period, though. And then Detroit leads Washington 2-1. Scoreless game between Toronto and Buffalo. NCAA men's baseball is underway. Number 3, Tennessee beat, I don't even know who AAMU is, but that's who they beat, 10-0. And LSU ended up beating, number 1 ranked LSU beat Southern 18-4. Right now, number 7, Florida leads South Florida 2-1 at the bottom of the sixth. Number 5, Texas A&M is beating Loyola Marymount 4-2. Number 10, Vanderbilt is getting beat by Central Arkansas. And number 4, Ole Miss is beating Arkansas 11-3. So that gives you a wrap-up right there. Earlier today in women's softball, number 5, Clemson beat number 16, Georgia 7-1. There you go. And now we've got... your sports news here. The Carolina Panthers head coach Frank Reich will call the offensive plays to start the season, but at some point he's going to hand those duties off to somebody. Jim Caldwell, his assistant coach, says he's done seeking out NFL head coaching jobs. He's good with just being an assistant coach. Jacques Vaughn, the head coach for the Nets, just got a multi-year contract extension. At the same time that Nate McMillan, the head coach for the Hawks, was fired. So they just let him go today. The Chicago Bulls have shut down Lonzo Ball for the remainder of the NBA season. So even though we're at the halfway point, Lonzo Ball will not play the rest of the season. He has not played now for pretty much a year. He's got a bad knee injury, and they're just shutting him down, letting him fully recover. Then police say the Alabama freshman star Brandon Miller is being investigated because he provided a gun to a murder, basically to a situation where a murder occurred in January. So that's why he's being investigated there. Authorities are investigating the death of UNLV football player, 20 years old. He's found unresponsive in his bed. They're doing a toxicology reports on him. And Major League Soccer has added a best-of-three series to an expanded playoffs, which, by the way, I just found this out today. I didn't realize MLS Soccer is playing on Apple TV+. So I thought that was kind of cool. So I was mentioning a little bit earlier this hour that President Trump is criticizing Governor Ron DeSantis, saying, look, Florida was fine before him. And people were moving to the state with good numbers under Rick Scott. They're moving to the state with good numbers under Charlie Crist. It was doing great before him. In other words, don't give him credit for what Florida's doing. Well, and I mentioned earlier this hour, I was going over things that he's done that have been pretty good accomplishments. And one of them, for example, is that last year was the first year ever that Florida led the country in net migration percentage-wise. So we had the most people percentage-wise move to the state. That is a big part of his leadership style and his leadership skills. But this is when I started thinking. My first reaction when I was reading this, what Trump said about DeSantis was, he sounds like a Democrat. It sounds like the similar kinds of attacks that I've heard in the past 2 years, 3 years from Democrats against Ron DeSantis. That was my first thought. Well, Trump sounded a little bit like a Democrat in his attack here on against DeSantis. And then my second thought was he might want to watch himself, because the last time we saw him in office, he acted like a Democrat too. I always said during the presidential election that I thought it was going to be hard for Biden to beat him running on the fact of anything with COVID. Because if he was going to run on COVID, like, I would have done this or I would have done that, I'm like, you wouldn't have done anything different than what Trump did. Trump handled COVID like a Democrat would. He had Fauci, and he's the one that put Fauci there, and he's the one that listened to Fauci. And when Governor DeSantis, after 3 weeks, decided to open up the state and no longer have businesses shut down, it was Donald J. Trump who called DeSantis and said, don't reopen your state. Keep it shut down. Keep it locked down. When the governor of Georgia tried to do the same thing, it was Trump again who called him and said, keep your state locked down. That is a Democrat way of controlling things, not allowing people to make their own free choice and free will. And there was multiple things on the way he handled COVID that was the way a Democrat would have handled it. I said that back then. I said it during the presidential election that Biden can't really use COVID as a way to say that. Of course, he did. He was like, so many people died. It's like, you wouldn't have done anything different. Give me a break. And so now I'm thinking, the last time we saw Trump in office, he acted like a Democrat. And now he's attacking Ron DeSantis with Democrat talking points. I'm just saying. Don't get me wrong. I still would have way rather have had Trump be the president of the United States than Biden. I think overall President Trump did a good job, but the economy imploded not because of COVID. The economy imploded because of the government's handling of COVID. What I would have expected from a leader like Trump would have been not to encourage government lockdowns, which is what he did. I would have expected him to push and put into place, and I don't care if it's executive order or whatever it might be, to prevent governments from keeping businesses from opening up. That's what I would have expected. Then the economy would have been fine. We still would have had 3% of the population who would have died. Nothing would have changed with that. And those who were over the age of 65 to 70, we could have passed bills that could have protected them, that wouldn't have added as much to the debt and the deficit as what the CARES Act did. There's so many things. All right, it's Pensacola Call right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Right now, Bobby Rossi, Radio 923. Got a text. She says, Bobby, I don't know about your memory that much about the beginning of COVID, but all I can remember was Democrats yelling, follow the science, and shouting that Trump to do everything, he told him to do. Oh, Fauci told him to do, yeah. And to do everything that Fauci told him to do. I think Trump was being told what to do by the Democrats because they were in charge of Congress, so he was screwed either way. Yeah, I mean, that was a part of it. But I remember also at the beginning saying, I get to remember at the very, very beginning, remember when he closed travel from China, he was being criticized by Democrats back then, way early on. They were calling him a racist, remember? And so it's like, okay. So, but after that point, yes, after that, they were like, if you follow the science, follow the science. And he was. And he was doing all these things. And so, yeah, he might have been screwed either way from a Democrat perspective. From the beginning, there was conservatives and libertarian-leaning people like me who were like, what is he doing? Just stop listening to those guys. They don't know what they're talking about. You're supposed to listen to Fauci, but then you pull in your economic advisor, and you go, hey, so if we do what Fauci's saying, what's that going to do to the economy? And then you go, okay, let's bring in your health and human services director and go, so if the economy tanks, like he's saying, what's that going to do to the mental health of the population and suicide rates and drug abuse? Okay, thanks for everybody giving me all your advice. Me, as the CEO of the country, let me now make a educated decision. And instead, he just followed Fauci. And that was that's what I'm just like, you just completely ignore all this other stuff. And it was like, whatever, we'll throw money at it. I mean, I've stated before, I feel like shutting down the country was going to throw us into a Great Depression. The only thing that didn't put us in a Great Depression was the CARES Act. And so as much as I really hated the CARES Act and how much it added to the economy or added to the debt and the deficit, the reality of it is if we didn't have the CARES Act, we would be in a Great Depression right now. And the only reason why we needed it is because government put us in the problem in the first place, so we needed it. We needed the CARES Act. Now we should be spending all this time trying to recover from that, trying to build budget surplus to try to bring it back. And instead, we're just spending through the wazoo. It's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi. Let's get traffic on the fives. Oh, no, not yet. Let's go over to Joe Ford in the newsroom.
Yeah, Bobby, the EPA is ordering Norfolk Southern to pay for all the cleanup associated with the toxic train derailment earlier this month in East Palestine, Ohio. Also, the EPA Administrator Michael Regan and Governor Mike DeWine went door-to-door today to drink tap water with residents, saying that, yes, the water is indeed safe. Ukraine still independent and free nearly 1 year into Russia's invasion of the country. Both President Biden and Zelensky making that declaration today. A $100 million lawsuit, wrongful death lawsuit, that is, being filed by the family of Malcolm X 58 years after his assassination. Attorney Ben Crump said the civil rights leader's family is suing the city of New York, the state, FBI, and CIA, accusing those agencies of concealing evidence. And finally, the FDA is reviewing Pfizer's vaccine that protects infants against RSV and could make a decision to clear the shot as soon as August. The single-dose vaccine is given to pregnant women late in pregnancy to trigger antibodies that are passed to the fetus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you were covering that one before. That's kind of an interesting one as well.
It is.
More science out there that they can even do that. It's kind of amazing. All right, Spence Cole right now, Bobby Ross. Let's get traffic on the fives.
This traffic update brought to you by Habitat for Humanity. Roads are looking good. No slowdown Stirport on I-10 or I-110 throughout Pensacola, as well as 29 and 90. If you do see something on the road slowing you down, give me a call at the traffic line, 850-2626-111. This traffic report, again, brought to you by Habitat for Humanity. The Pensacola Habitat Food Truck Festival is going to be on February 25th and the 26th, that's this weekend, at Community Maritime Park. Go follow Pensacola Habitat for Humanity on Facebook for more information. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So, what are the most popular languages to get tattooed? This is new research. They looked at this worldwide. And English is the most spoken language around the world. But when it comes to tattoos, it's only 10th highest most frequent language used on a tattoo. The top is Japanese. Okay. Next, Chinese, Arabic, Latin, Korean, Greek, French, Spanish, Italian. And then, like I said, 10th is English. The most common language tattoos are names, followed by either a single letter or some sort of single character, a quote, a word, and then finally lyrics. In addition to aesthetic, people may be prioritizing efficiency as well because you have limited space with the tattoo. Apparently, I guess some of these other languages are a lot shorter, especially if you're doing Japanese or Chinese, you're doing character, and it makes it a wrapped up like that. Interestingly enough, I saw this. America is number one in the demand for tattoo removal and tattoo corrections. And I've actually been seeing some things more and more about tattoo removal services are becoming really, 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 really big. And the reason why I saw this article about it was because tattoo removal services are becoming big, not for the reason I thought. I was thinking it was because, they regretted the tattoo. Kind of. A lot of the tattoo removal services is because they're removing a tattoo because they're just done with it. But they're probably going to replace, get a tattoo somewhere, maybe in the same place or somewhere close by or something like that. But it's mainly because they're just like, I'm done with this tattoo. I've had this tattoo for a long time. It doesn't mean to me what it used to mean to me. I'm going to just get rid of it, and I'll get a different tattoo. And I was like, really? Because, to me, it would be like, I'm getting rid of this tattoo. I'm done with tattoos forever because I screwed up, or whatever. But no, it's more about just saying, hey, I don't want this tattoo, so I'm not going to but I don't want this tattoo, but doesn't mean I don't want tattoos. I guess that's what it was. So I thought it was kind of crazy. All right, it's Pensacola right now, Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now here's something even crazier. I could not believe this story. I was talking to somebody about the train derailments recently. And we were talking about, is there a huge uptick in train derailments? And they said to me, no, we have train derailments every day. And I was like, no, we don't. And yes, we do. So I looked it up. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics records between 1990 and 2021, there was 54,539 train derailments. Oh, what? Yeah. 54,900 train derailments in that period of time. So with that, that's averages 1,000. 704 train derailments per year. Okay, I stand corrected. Wow. It's Pensacola Right Now with Bobby Rossi on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. You guys have a great night. Bye-bye.